ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 90, Summary of Lord Krishna's Glories. We'll be reading the final two verses of the entire 10th canto, texts 49 and 50. I'll just read through 49 and then we'll do 50 responsively. I think this works best with the Brahma Samhita tune. Try it. So text 49. Itam parashani, let's try that again. Itam parashani javartma virakshyata. Let's just do it all together. Lila tanos tadana rupa vidam banani. Karmani karma kashanani yadutamasya. Shruyadamusha parayor anuvritam icham. Translation. To protect the principles of devotional service to himself, Lord Krishna, the best of the Yadus, accepts the pastime forms that have been glorified here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. One who desires to faithfully serve his lotus feet should hear of the activities he performs in each of these incarnations, activities that suitably imitate those of the forms he assumes. Hearing narrations of these pastimes destroys the reaction to fruitive work. So text 50 is to responsibly. Marachyas tayanu shavam editaya mukanda. Srimat kata shravana kirtana chintayati. Adhama dustara kirtanta javapavargam. Gramadvanam shati bujo piya yur yatartha. Martyastayanu savameditaya mukanda. Srimat katha shravana kirtana chintayati. Adama dustara kritanta jivapavargam. Brahmadvanam shati bujo piya yur yadartha. Martyastayanu savameditaya mukunda. Srimat katha shravana kirtana chintayati. Tadama dustara kripanta javapavargam. Brahmadvanam shati bujo piya yur yadartha.
Thank you.
Ladies, Martya, immortal, Kaya, by such, Anusavam, constantly, Aditaya, increasing, Mukunda, about Lord Krishna, Srimat, beautiful, Kata, of the topics, Shravana, by hearing, Kirtana, chanting, Chintaya, and meditating, Eti, goes, Tat, his, Dhamma, to the abode, Dushtara, unavoidable, Krita Anta, of death, Java, of the force, Abhavargam, the place of cessation, Gramat, from one's mundane home. Vanam, to the forest. Shiti Bhujan, kings like Priyavrata. Api, even. Yayu, went. Yat, whom. Arta, for the sake of obtaining. Translation purport by the disciples of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. By regularly hearing, chanting, and meditating on the beautiful topics of Lord Mukunda with ever-increasing sincerity, a mortal being will attain the divine kingdom of the Lord, where the inviolable power of death holds no sway. For this purpose, many persons, including great kings, abandoned their mundane homes and took to the forest. Report. For the Srimad Bhagavatam's 10th canto, this verse is the Palashruti, the promise of success given to one who hears it. The process of devotional service begins with hearing topics about the Supreme Lord. When one has heard these topics properly, he can proceed to chant them for others' benefit and reflect on their significance. This leads to faithful adherence to the principles of devotional service, which culminates in absolute faith in Lord Krishna. Such perfect faith gives one the right to enter the Lord's intimate service and in due course of time, return to one's eternal spiritual life in one of the Lord's personal domains. Humbly offering his comments on the 10th canto at the lotus feet of his worshipful Lord, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti prays, Madhgavirapi Gopala Svikurya Kripaya Yadi Tadaivam Sampaya Pipa Trisheshu Statriya Jana. If Lord Gopal mercifully accepts the cows of my words, then his dear devotees may enjoy the pleasure of drinking their milk, the nectar produced by hearing them. Thus ends the purport of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 90th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Summary of Lord Krishna's Glories. The 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam was completed on December 27, 1988, the anniversary of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura's disappearance. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura also mentions that he completed the 10th canto in the month of January, February. He doesn't say what year, but he finished the whole Bhagavatam in 1704, so it might have been like about 1703, he finished the 10th canto, not sure. Anyway, it seems to be that authors and commentators on the Bhagavatam often, you know, give a final verse, and they often reflect upon the date and the time that they completed the particular work. It seems to be part of our Vaishnava tradition. So this is the end of the 10th canto. These are the final verses. Kind of sad, isn't it? You know, the 10th canto has just been a wonderful, wonderful exploration of the glories of Sri Krishna. The 10th canto, we've covered 4,500 verses, and I was checking, it's actually been 6 years that we've been on the 10th canto. You know, and that works at about 3 verses a day, because, you know, several we went through quickly, several verses a day. But so it's obviously a very, very long canto, the longest canto, 90 chapters. And there was some discussion 6 years ago whether we should continue after the 13th chapter, Srila Prabhupada's purports, continue on with the purports of his disciples, or whether we should return to the beginning. I personally feel very happy, gratified that we did continue on, because the 10th canto just has too much nectar to miss, you know. And it's so rich in depth of pastimes. The pastimes of Krishna are all there, plus the purports, so much philosophy was illuminated. One thing that I've noted over the course of giving these classes on the Bhagavatam, that the purports that our BBT editors, Vidyananda Goswami, Gopi Purana, Don, and all the other people that worked on this, about, I would say, at least 50% of the purports are either directly from Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur or indirectly, basically taking the essence of what he said. And so they relied very heavily on the Acharyas, mostly Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, sometimes Sanatana Goswami, or Madhvacharya and others like that. But so I think that it's, at least I've had great personal benefit, I think, of deepening appreciation of Krishna's pastimes. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita Modulated 24.318, Lord Chaitanya glorifies Srimad Bhagavatam, which he does repeatedly throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya says, "The Srimad Bhagavatam is as great as Krishna, the Supreme Lord and the shelter of everything. In each and every verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, and in each and every syllable, there are various meanings." So I think we found this as we've gone through the Bhagavatam. You know, so much is there. There's, on one level, there's the pastime, which is just beautiful in itself, because anything related to Krishna is wonderful and enlivening, is totally spiritual. His pastimes are non-different than himself. But the philosophy is also there, entwined within the pastimes. And you know, I've always found it amazing the way that sometimes I'll be reading some pastime, which just seems like an adventure story practically, like the Shamataka Jewel or fighting this demon or something. And then the characters pause and we get several verses of the deepest, you know, most wonderful philosophy that's given to us. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is everything. It's totally complete within itself. And as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, that we can take great shelter and meaning in every syllable. So the Srimad Bhagavatam begins, of course, the 10th canto begins, where Shukadeva Goswami, at the end of the 9th canto, is describing the glories of the different dynasties that lead up, and finally he's going through dynasty after dynasty, and eventually, of course, he finally comes to Krishna's dynasty, and he comes up to the birth of Krishna. He's describing sort of in this natural sequence. And then he begins, of course, to glorify Krishna, not just as a king in the, you know, coming in a line of a dynastic succession, but as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he talks a little bit about his pastimes and glories. Maharaj Parikshit, of course, is immediately intrigued and wants to know more because he's a pure devotee of Krishna. So he asks many questions. Well, why did he do this and why did he that? And how did he marry the queens? And who really was his mother or something like that? About Devaki and Yashoda. And so tell me more. Maharaj Parikshit is saying. So Shukadeva Goswami, very enlivened at Maharaj Parikshit's questions, proceeded to give in the 10th canto another 4,500 verses directly glorifying the pastimes of Krishna, beginning with his birth and the Vrindavan pastimes, going to Mathura. And actually, much of the 10th canto is about the Dwarka pastimes and later pastimes of Krishna, which, as we say, are full of meaning and great, great spiritual value to us. So Shukadeva Goswami begins when he's starting to talk about these pastimes of Krishna, the 10th canto, in the first chapter, actually the 16th verse. He says that inquiry about Krishna will benefit three classes. Those, the speaker of the Bhagavatam, will benefit from glorifying Krishna. Those who inquire, who ask questions, are benefited. And he says the general people who listen are all benefited. So the Srimad Bhagavatam class we do every morning is not just something by some arbitrary convention. You know, it's absolutely in line with our acharyas and the great devotees in the past who have given us this process of hearing and chanting about the glories of the Lord for our spiritual advancement and benefit. So those of us who are speaking the Bhagavatam are benefited, those who are listening, those who ask questions, who inquire to benefit, just anyone who hears anything about the Srimad Bhagavatam has great spiritual purification and benefit. So this 10th canto, of course, is particularly wonderful because we are directly hearing Krishna's pastimes. Of course, the entire Bhagavatam is Krishna's pastimes, and it's all glorious. It's all in relationship to Krishna and his devotees. And I did a little browse in the database, you know, seeing what Srila Prabhupada said about the 10th canto. And about the first 50 hits I got were all about how we should be very careful not to jump to the 10th canto. So it's interesting that, you know, because the 10th canto is so beautiful, intriguing, so, you know, interesting to people, you know, Prabhupada often warned, don't jump to the 10th canto, read the first 9 cantos first so you can understand who Krishna is. So when you're reading the pastimes of the Rasa dance or whatever it may be, you're not thinking this is some mundane story or some love affair or some amorous adventure. You're understanding that these are the most elevated, you know, the most godly pastimes of the Supreme Person, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But that's all in preparation for, you know, the wonderful experience of hearing Krishna's pastimes. And of course, Prabhupada gave us the Krishna book, the summary study of the 10th canto in 1970. Some of us, I wasn't even around until a couple years later, but those who were obviously very neophyte, you know, very, you know, new in Krishna consciousness, but still Srila Prabhupada wanted to make sure, probably foreseeing that he would not be able to finish the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, which turned out to be the case, that he only got about, you know, 20% through it or whatever, you know, for the first 13 chapters. Perhaps foreseeing that, or he did give us the Krishna book, which was all of the pastimes of the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, which is very, very wonderful. And he wanted us to read those. It's not that we're not supposed to read the 10th canto. Prabhupada wanted us to read, and some of us remember nightly readings around the prasadam room and hot milk and Krishna book readings, right? Some of you remember that? Used to go on regularly. And this is what Prabhupada wanted us, to become absorbed in these beautiful pastimes of Krishna, become attracted to him, and to increase our devotional service to Krishna. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Anchalila 3516, that's a long chapter, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "The Srimad Bhagavatam is full of Krishna prema. It is non-different from the beautiful body of Krishna and is part of Krishna himself, or describes Krishna's confidential pastimes." So, obviously, these most confidential pastimes are most covered in the 10th canto. And Lord Chaitanya glorifies these pastimes continually. But it's non-different than Krishna's beautiful body, because it's described Krishna's body, Krishna's name, Krishna's activities, his pastimes are all equally on that spiritual platform. So, returning to our last verses here in the Bhagavatam, the previous verses that we discussed the last couple of days basically were a summary of Krishna's pastimes, and most recently a summary of the glorification of the qualities of Krishna. We heard about those 5 special qualities, right, that Krishna had, which are a little bit different than the 4 that are given in the Nectar Devotion. You know, these 5 qualities, which are very, very nice, very wonderful, of how Krishna, his pastimes and activities are really superior
with any other incarnation, any avatar, any expansion, any form. So we're hearing about how wonderful Krishna is, getting at a sort of our finale of the 10th canto here. Now, these two verses actually glorify the hearing of the Srimad Bhagavatam and this 10th canto specifically. So in the next to last verse, 49, says, hearing these narrations destroys the reaction, the fruit of work. All right, one gains liberation. But now the last verse in the chapter goes a little further, and it gives us a benediction, that one who hears these pastimes will obtain the divine kingdom of God. It says, by regularly hearing, chanting, meditating on the beautiful topics of Lord Mukunda with ever-increasing sincerity, a mortal being will attain the divine kingdom of the Lord, where the inviolable power of death holds no sway. So this is called the Pala Shruti verse. Pala means fruit, Shruti, hearing. So the fruit of hearing. In other words, what is the result of hearing this 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam? Well, simply one attains the kingdom of God. Pretty good. Worth the 6 years we've been hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam here every morning. Of course, you could read it much faster on your own, I'm sure. But as we've studied and heard the Bhagavatam, there's no doubt of the spiritual benefit. The power and the benefit of hearing the Bhagavatam is actually described in the Bhagavatam itself. In the Bhagavatam 12:12:59, it says, one who with undeviating attention constantly recites this literature at every moment of every hour, as well as one who faithfully hears even one verse or half a verse or a single line or half a line, certainly purifies his very self. So you should undeviatingly read this literature every moment of every hour. That's what you should be doing. We should be doing. That's the preferred method. But if you don't do that, if you only read one line or one verse or half a line, then certainly one starts to become purified. So it's such a wonderful benediction. It's one of those things where you can't do too much and you can't do too little of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. In other words, every amount of hearing is beneficial. The more you hear, the more beneficial. So there's nothing complicated about this. It's a very simple, straightforward spiritual process of hearing the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, hearing of his pastimes, and becoming engaged in his service. So the purification process begins with hearing. And we know that one of the primary five angas given by Rupa Goswami devotional service, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam is first. We all know them, hearing the Bhagavatam, chanting Hare Krishna, worshiping the deities, associating with devotees, and residing in a holy place. These are the 64 processes of devotional service. These five are considered to be most powerful, according to Rupa Goswami. And so this hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is certainly one of those most powerful processes. Now, I thought it was interesting that sometimes we get these, we hear or receive these sort of blanket benedictions. You hear this, you go back to God, and you hear this. But actually, if you read this one carefully, there's a few conditions. It's not exactly absolute, is it? Because it says, by regularly hearing, chanting, with ever-increasing sincerity. You know, there's a, not a catch, but you know, there's a condition, with ever-increasing sincerity. So there's a process. There's a purifying process that's explained within this verse and within the purport. And this process is here within this purport is taken directly from Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura's commentary. So he gives the same process and elaborates a little further. So basically, we can attain the spiritual world by steadily hearing and chanting with ever-increasing sincerity. So that's very key to us, that this needs to be sincere hearing of the Bhagavatam. And of course, it begins with hearing and chanting, Shravanam Kirtanam. And then, after hearing, after chanting, one begins to Smaranam, to remember. In this particular verse, the word is given is Chintaya, which is translated as meditating. So meditating, Chintaya, Smaranam, hearing, remembering, basically, same idea. One is meditating and remembering, thinking about Krishna, remembering the philosophy, meditating, contemplating, reflecting upon Krishna consciousness and one's relationship with Krishna after hearing and chanting. So it's not mechanical, because the process of reflection, the process of meditation, of remembering, is not mechanical, is it? You know, in other words, even if you're mechanically sitting and hearing the Bhagavad Gita, and even if you're unthinkingly chanting japa, which is hard to do, but I guess it's possible, never reflect upon anything while just performing, hearing, and chanting, the process of remembering instills or demands a certain consciousness. So then it says that one increasingly is thinking and practicing the process of devotional service. And then with steady faith, one qualifies to return to Krishna's abode. Now this number three, increasingly thinking and practicing the process of devotional service, is interesting, because one is, as I said, it's a Krishna consciousness. The word consciousness, the C in KC, means active, is an active. I don't know what part of speech it is. I guess it's a noun, so I don't know how a noun can be active. But anyway, it's an active process. It's not a passive process. I got caught up there in the semantics a little bit. Vishnu Jagavati Thakur, in his purport, where he just says one more line after saying that about increasing thinking, practicing, he says that after meditating, the devotee starts to continuously think, by what method will I attain Krishna and when? You know, it's interesting. He throws out these ideas and these questions. In other words, as one advances in Krishna consciousness, you start to think about it. How will I attain Krishna? By what method? Now, we don't have to look real hard for the method. Fortunately, that's pretty clear cut. That's given to us by the Guru. Srila Prabhupada has given us the method. Rupa Goswami has given us the method of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, the nine processes of devotional service. But how we apply those to ourselves, to our own lives, how we incorporate those, how we perhaps perfect one of the nine processes of devotional service, that's a very individual thing. That's something that we all have to think about, meditate upon, about how are we going to advance in our process of Krishna consciousness. So it's not that we just start speculating, as I said, how would I like to serve Krishna? What should I do? You know, maybe I should go into a cave and meditate silently, you know, for a few years. No, we follow the order of the spiritual master, and we follow the restrictions of sadhana, which are given to us in all of our scriptures. Now, they're there from Rupa Goswami through all of our acharyas, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How, you know, the chanting of Hare Krishna, the different processes, the angas, the 64 processes are all there. So we don't have to be overly creative in how to practice Krishna consciousness. But at the same time, it's not unthinking. We must be a little bit introspective about our own advancement. So the devotee is continually evaluating one's own progress and adjusting one's practice according to the process of bhakti that's needed. So not that we need to create something new, but sometimes we need to reevaluate our own adherence to the practice and how well we are doing. You know, and how to evaluate how well we're doing? It's very simple. There's two things that we think of, that we reflect upon, which are?
Relationship with the Lord, knowledge, relationship with the Lord,
yeah. Detachment from the sense. Yes, exactly. How much are we becoming detached from material sense gratification, and how much are we becoming attached to Krishna, attached to the service of the Lord, processes of devotional service? You know, those are given to us as the way that we can evaluate our progress. Are these two things happening in our life? And sometimes that varies at different times in our life. Sometimes we may feel very strongly, and sometimes a little less strongly. So if we're not feeling it so strongly in our life that we're becoming, you know, that we're perhaps becoming somewhat too attached to material things, or that we're not attached enough to our spiritual life, we don't have to look to create something new. We don't need, like, to go to a new seminar, a new process, or whatever. I mean, you might. I mean, I'm not saying never do anything that might be helpful to overcome obstacles. But what it will really come down to is we need to intensify the basic practices of bhakti yoga, which start with hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna. So it's kind of like we keep going back to the sort of this loop, you know, which basically I'm not overly complex or intellectual, so I tend to see Krishna consciousness in a fairly simple way. You know, it's not a real mystery. we chant our rounds nicely, we read and we hear the scriptures, we become more and more absorbed in Krishna, and as we become attached to Krishna, the material desires will subside. And eventually, the purification process of Shravanam Kirtanam, Smaranam, the nine process, devotional service, doing our service, purifies the heart to the point that we are more and more absorbed in Krishna. As it's stated here, leads to faithful adherence to the principles of devotional service, culminates in absolute faith in Lord Krishna. And that's perhaps for most of us, that's a few steps away yet. To say that I think we have faith in Krishna. Most devotees say, yes, we have faith in Krishna. Do we have absolute faith in Krishna? Not sure yet. No, that's still probably a work in progress. But that's what we're working towards. As our heart becomes purified, our faith becomes stronger, increases more and more to the point where we're ready to go back to Krishna in the spiritual world. So, as I said, often if we find ourselves having doubts, difficulties, problems, step number one is to look at our sadhana. Look at our basic practices of devotional service. Are we adhering to those things? And are we being thoughtful about them? Are we thinking about how we advance in Krishna consciousness? And what may some of those obstacles be? There can be other obstacles like offenses, things like that that we need to think about as well. So taking that all into account, we need to basically rely on these processes of Krishna consciousness, begins by hearing and chanting, and the best hearing is of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which has been described here and what we've been studying, this beautiful 10th canto for the last 6 years. I'll end here with another verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam 12, 13, 18. Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana, the Amala Purana. It is most dear to the Vaishnavas because it describes the pure and supreme knowledge of the Paramahamsas. This Bhagavatam reveals the means for becoming free from all material work, together with the process of transcendental knowledge, renunciation, and devotion. Anyone who seriously tries to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam, who properly hears and chants it with devotion, becomes completely liberated. So a very nice, wonderful description of the Bhagavatam from the Bhagavatam itself. One thing I like about this verse is not only is it glorified, first of all, it says it describes the supreme knowledge. So all knowledge is there. It's like the beginning, some on the stage. And then it says it reveals the means for becoming free from material work. The Abhideya stage, right? The process of devotional service of bhakti yoga is given to us throughout the Bhagavatam. So not only is sort of an abstract, or not abstract, but theoretical knowledge or understanding of how things work, the material and spiritual energies are there, but the process of becoming purified and free from material energy is also there within the Bhagavatam. And then finally, of course, it takes us to the fullest absolute truth, which of course the 10th canto most nicely describes for us, the prayojana, the absolute end of knowledge, which is absorption in the wonderful pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyway, those are my thoughts on the Bhagavatam and ending this 10th canto. Hopefully we've gotten a much deeper appreciation of the 10th canto through this sort of very, very long process and steady process of going verse by verse through it. And I'm sure we'll have continued realizations as we tackle the 11th canto tomorrow. 11th canto is quite a wonderful book. How many chapters is the Uddhava Gita portion? Like 19 chapters, 20 chapters or something? There's a lot, and they'll probably take us another 5-6 years to go through the 11th canto. But it's filled with not so much the pastimes, but filled with, the transcendental knowledge of the Krishna imparts directly. Yeah. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you. So are there any...
The cows of my word. I didn't understand. What is it?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because, in other words, the word, he says in the, his, because I would think he would say it's sort of like the milk or something, but it's not, it's the cows right. Of his words. So you milk the words for the nectar, I guess. That's how I understand it. In other words, he's acting like the cow. Vishnu's giving his words are like the cow, and he's there for anyone, you know, to milk the cow, and that milk is, you know, the nectar and the beauty of the Srimad Bhagavatam. I had to think about that one a couple of times. The cow of his words.
Isn't there also a description in Bhagavad Gita about Arjun milking the cow?
Or, yeah.
How's that one go? And then also one time, Prabhupada, when he was traveling, I forgot the specifics, but he says, I'm just like a cow. Wherever you put me down, wherever I am, I'll just preach. You know, I'll just, yeah. So if I'm here. This idea, there's a lot in that.
Yeah.
Also, I had an observation, maybe again, that Adoshwara Sadasanga Bhajana Kriya, that verse that we're familiar with, it's just like this paraphrase, or it's the same idea, purport here, except the last parts where it was technically explained by Rupa Goswami. Here it's Vishwanath Chakravarti, for in his line of thinking, he just made it more the secret that you're entering, because after the Nishtha stage, where we're talking about the steadiness, then the intimacy begins, where, as the way he's explaining it today, how was it exactly said in the purport from the 50, I think it was? If we look at it...
What part are you looking at? In the purport?
Where he's saying that the progression of Krishna, of hearing, is, you know, your faith develops.
Yeah, basically hearing and chanting, then meditating or remembering, then increasingly thinking and practicing, and then... faith begins, steady faith, qualified.
So that practicing, that's the Bhajana Kriya.
Yeah.
Practicing, and then the faith is the Nishtha. So you could see the same thing. You just associate by hearing, then you naturally
start. Usually we find the teachings of our Vaishnava Acharyas are pretty consistent. You know, it's like, you know what's so wonderful is that there's just so much that can be said, and there's so many ways to say it. So we get a little different angle or a little different perspective between Rupa Goswami or Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur or Srila Prabhupada, but they're all saying the same thing. You know, it's like I was thinking, if you read Bhaktivinoda Sindhu, the line-by-line translation, you know, there's some different, little bit different ideas said a different way. There's some more terminology than Prabhupada gives the nectar devotion. But if you compare it side by side, Prabhupada's saying exactly the same thing, often in a way that's easier to understand, you know, or it's more simple, you know, and, you know, instead of putting four technical words, he'll just say, this is what it is. So, you know, they're all right and they're all consistent, but there's different, little different perspectives. And that's part of the richness of our Vaishnava literary tradition.
And it always has the prohibition that if you don't do it, you know, if once hearing, you go away, then there's like nothing but an animal. You know, there's quite a few of those, or 9-3, then in Bhagavad Gita. So there's always a prohibition that by hearing this, just it's supposed to create a change.
And if you don't, it's a problem. I was thinking about this idea of the Pala Shruti verses. There's a lot of Pala Shruti verses throughout the Bhagavatam, aren't there? Where you'll end a chapter and say, this is the benefit that you get. Like, I was thinking of one, at the end of... Actually, I wrote it down. I forgot to say it. Like at the end of the Rasa Dance, those four chapters, there's a specific benediction that it's described that one attains pure service and will conquer lust. If one hears, right? And then there's the other kind that Madan Mohan was saying. Remember pastimes of Govardhan Hill or something like, if you don't hear or if you don't observe Govardhan Puja, you'll get bitten by the snakes on Govardhan Hill. So, you know, yeah, so both are there, the do's and the don'ts, you know. There's a very positive result from hearing all of this, and there's a perhaps more negative result from not following. So,
yeah. It was in the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita. It says, as a cowherd boy, Krishna is milking this cow, and Arjuna is just like the cat.
Okay.
Drink,
Same idea. Yeah. Thank you. Let's in the back, Vernia.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you. I was just wondering, in the course of so much preaching work that you've done, do you find any particular methods or things that are successful in getting newer people to take up this process of regular hearing?
Well, that's a good question. I think it comes from our conviction and our enthusiasm for hearing. You know, when we sort of describe how we have benefited often and what the philosophy means to us and how we may have been, I mean, I can easily tell people that I became a devotee after I read Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. I sat down, read the whole thing, and I said, okay, I'm convinced, what's next? You know, in other words, our own experiences are often really good to encourage people. And obviously, the scriptures themselves, and Srila Prabhupada's words and others, you know, are very encouraging. And mainly, we just need to get people to kind of dive in, you know, to begin. Because these books change people's lives. They do. And it's a fact, even the Srimad Bhagavatam itself, the Chaitanya Charitamrita is saying that, you know, if you hear one syllable, you hear one verse, it has a benefit. But of course, as one is advancing in Krishna consciousness, we want people to read more than one verse or one syllable. And we want them to continue reading. And you know, sometimes that is kind of I was just thinking, because you're asking the question. I remember when we were at one particular congregation, we were doing the awards for people who would chant so many rounds like that. Rami and I were doing this program. And I think you had on your form, you had them say what books they had read. And many of them, even though they were chanting and coming regularly to the Sangha, they weren't reading very much, right? Correct. So I'm thinking of your question. It is sometimes difficult to get our congregation to seriously read through the Prabhupada's books.
Yeah, I mean, I noticed that a couple of families in one city, they when they started making a habit of like regularly hearing a Bhagavatam class every day, after a few months of that, everything becomes so much simpler and easier for them.
Yeah, I think so too. And sometimes for some people, not everybody is scholarly, let's face it. Not everybody likes to sit down and read books. I mean, I know devotees who just really don't like to read very much. But sometimes people can hear classes, you know, much easier. And so that's a really good thing. I mean, now that on the internet, you can get so many classes, you can hear. And I know devotees, just like you say, who in our congregation who have begun, like they'll listen to a class every day or a couple classes, and they do definitely make advancement from that. So that's another good way to get people interested in the philosophy, is by hearing classes. And they can even pick their speaker now. You can go on and pick whatever Swami you like or whoever you want to hear give a class or whatever city. Like some people regularly listen to the Alachua class on the internet. Many people do. And some people, I remember before Alachua went on many years ago, we used to listen to Los Angeles classes or, you know, wherever it might be, or Mayapur. So.
Yeah, I was thinking there's one boy, he's been coming for a few years in Tampa. I think he was a student a few years ago and from the Philippines, but he was like, how do I advance? And then finally he got a job where they said, you can just be there and do your job and you can be listening to the Bhagavatam all day. They didn't care. So he started doing that, and now he's just like,
sure.
He just wants to go.
The power of the Bhagavatam. Thank you. Yes. Is there anything in the ladies' side? Yeah, let's go over here. Mother Kadasi.
Thank you, Prabhu. Well, my understanding of something you said earlier was that sometimes we can be having an issue and we really need to look at our sadhana and things like that to kind of fix it. And it's okay to do those other things, but it basically comes down to how our chanting and our reading and things like that. Is that correct?
Yeah, that sounds like a good purport on my purport. Yeah.
Okay. And it just made me think of a story that I read where I don't know if the devotee was maybe thought he was going crazy or something like that, and Srila Prabhupada told him to sit down and chant Hare Krishna very loudly. Have you ever heard that before?
Maybe it sounds familiar.
Okay. Anyway, so, and I wondered if it's just a matter of faith, because somebody else could say, well, you know, maybe he needs medication or whatever. So is it just a question of how much faith the person has in the process, where you take that as your priority?
Well, it's a wonderful question. It's a complex question. And I don't know that I have the exact answer to it, because, I mean, I have to say, you know, in all honesty, I'm a psychologist, a counselor, so I do think that other processes are often valuable for devotees. The way I see it is other processes, psychological processes, medication, whatever it might be, are there to help remove obstacles to the processes of hearing and chanting. In other words, the purifying process comes through bhakti, comes through the process of, you know, the nine processes, starting with hearing and chanting. Sometimes we're not able to do those things so well because our mind causes us trouble or whatever it may be, and we might need other things to help us work through some of those obstacles to get to the real process of hearing and chanting. That's the way I see it. And I know from counseling devotees for enough years that unless that's there, progress is very slow. I found that devotees, if there isn't sadhana or really much dedication to Krishna consciousness, it's very difficult to help with that much change. And those who do have that interest and dedication and hard working on the sadhana, you know, whatever else they may be doing as well, they'll make good progress or better progress. Vitra, we have an experienced nurse here in the field.
Just her purport to your purport.
Okay.
Commenting on what she said, I've worked in mental health facilities and have treated devotees, sincere devotees, who have mental health issues. And it was my experience that some particular individuals have psychoses. And I don't see how, on any level, they could have the presence of mind to be peaceful enough to actually carry on any kind of sadhana in a stable way, whereas the medication would definitely help them, put them in a position where they're at least able to follow basically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but and I've noticed that the help of the Vaishnavas also, when we see that somebody is having difficulty with their mind. I know this one person, I made a small mala, a hand mala, because they can't have long japa beads. The individual was chanting on this mala all day long in an inpatient facility, and actually made a devotional robes out of sheets. And, you know, everybody, the nurses and the doctors were wondering what is going on with this person, you know. But also the help of the Vaishnavas, you know, we have to step in when we see that there's a problem like this and not, you know, turn away or, that was just another thought.
So would you say, I guess, to kind of follow this up, that both things are necessary. Sometimes there needs to be
absolutely,
some other
without a question of a doubt.
But the spiritual practice is also very helpful.
Well, just like anything else, you know, in spiritual life, anything that's favorable for devotional service, yeah, we accept it, and if it's unfavorable, we reject it. So there's certain times when some things are necessary. Yeah, I mean, you know, we have to see if the what's the phrase for it? If the end justifies the means.
Hmm.
You know, we don't take the medication for intoxication.
Hmm.
It's taken specifically to facilitate. If that's the goal, then we accept it. And sometimes it can be taken and not taken, and sometimes, hmm, I mean, sometimes it can be taken and then later on, but there's a lot of Vaishnavas that absolutely have got to have medication or they just can't maintain.
I agree with you from my experience. And Prabhupada did say one time, a devotee has to be sane. And so sometimes we have to achieve sanity, you know, to be able to then achieve devotional service or advancement. Then. Okay, I think last but Jivanath, then we should probably quit.
Okay. I don't remember the devotee's name, but I was listening to the Prabhupada Festival from L.A. just recently, a couple weeks ago. And this devotee became interested and attracted to chanting Hare Krishna while in Bellevue Hospital. Mm-hmm. And that's where Kirtananda was back in the 60s. And he became attracted to chanting. But he had some problems. And so he went to Prabhupada and he says, I'm on this methadone program. But I like chanting Hare Krishna, but I have this methadone that I have to take. And Prabhupada said, you continue to take that medicine, it's okay, just keep chanting.
Yeah.
And eventually he chanted more than he took the medicine and gave up the medicine.
From everything I've seen and heard, Prabhupada was very practical in these matters. You know, do what you need to do to be a devotee, to chant Hare Krishna.
All glories to Prabhupada.